Well, we're going to continue in chapter 21. And Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to grant me utterance tonight to speak. And I thank you for it. Amen. Hallelujah. And in chapter 21, verse 1, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. So God's not going to just patch up the old. He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. Amen. And this one will not have a sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride. It says, as a bride, adorned for her husband. This is the holy city, the New Jerusalem. We know there's the earthly and then there's the heavenly. And the good news is in verse 4, it says, God's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Hallelujah. I often comfort myself in these things that someday, amen, all the things that have happened in life and even the bad memories and those things are going to be dealt with, amen. God's not going to, you know, we're not going to have to deal with it in eternity. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then in verse 9, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. So we see this one of the seven angels that was involved in the bowl judgments gives John this time a more detailed look or view of the New Jerusalem. And the reference to the Lamb's wife may mean that the city is the residence of the bride. Because in verse 2 it says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So I don't believe it's literally saying that the city is the bride, because we know Scripture bears witness to the fact that the redeemed, amen, are the bride of Christ. And so it's obviously the Lord is not married to a literal city. And some suggest that this is really just an exotic symbol of the church, the bride of Christ. But then if you look at John 14, Jesus said, I have gone to what prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Yeah, I believe we're looking for that city, amen, whose maker and founder is God, right? And it's not made by hands of man, but the Lord himself is preparing a place. Hallelujah. And in verse 10, it says, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. This must have been amazing to be in the first person witnessing this. But the New Jerusalem does not need the light of the sun. Remember, it says the sun and the moon will no longer be necessary because it is radiant with the glory of God. In verse 12, it says, also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And verse 13 says, three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. So the city was surrounded by a massive wall in which there were 12 gates and 12 angels and bearing the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And isn't it interesting that there's three gates facing in each direction of the compass, north, south, east, and west. And the number 12 is used 21 times in this book, in the book of Revelation, and 7 times in this chapter. And it is commonly understood to stand for government or administration. As we know, right, the church is built on the prophets, right, and the apostles and the prophets. And Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. In Revelation 21 and 14, it says, "Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. On them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." So this may have reference to the fact that the 12 apostles laid the foundation of the church and what they taught concerning the Lord. And we see that also in Ephesians 2 and verse 20. Now, verse 15 says, "And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal." Now, we already talked about this previously, about the dimensions and how massive this city is. It's a cube. It seems to be a cube. "The angel with the gold measuring rod determined that the city was approximately 12,000 furlongs, which would be 1,400 to 1,500 miles in length, breadth, and height. The New Jerusalem, will, of course, extends far beyond the bounds of restored Israel." Now, in verse 17, it says, "Then he measured its wall 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man," that is, of an angel. Now, the expression "according to the measure of a man" means that the angel used units of measure employed by man. All right, so maybe to us it would be in meters or in yards, right? But or miles. Verse 18 says, "The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, I think I got that right, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst." And so what we see here is 12 stones. Isn't it interesting that the breastplate of the high priest that represented the 12 tribes of Israel were 12 different gems or stones? And so verse 21 says, "The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one of pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass." So the 12 gates are 12 pearls. And this is a reminder that the church is the pearl of great price, for which Jesus sold all that he had to purchase. We see that in Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. So the streets of the city are what? They're pure gold, like transparent glass, which really, I believe, speaks of purity, right? Pure gold, unspotted glory. Amen. God wants his people to be as pure gold, without spot, right? And he's working in us. He's in a process of sanctifying, setting us apart, and preparing us, making us holy for his presence. Hallelujah. And verse Revelation 21, 22, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light," or its lamp. So here we see there's going to be no need of a temple in the New Jerusalem. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are there, the Father and the Son. And there is no need for the sun or moon in the New Jerusalem, because the glory of God is going to illuminate it. And the lamp of the city is the Lord himself, the Lamb, Jesus. In verse 24, it says, "The nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it." So it says the nations. Now, the word also means races or tribes. Races or tribes of those who are saved. So I believe this is speaking of the Gentiles, born-again Gentiles. Okay? They're going to enjoy its beauty as well, those of us who are born again, saved. Amen? And the kings of the earth will come with their tribute to the Lord. So they're going to be bringing offering also of the glory of the earth, it says. "Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there." So there are no closed gates. Isn't it going to be good to be living in a place where you don't have to lock your door at night, right? Because there's perfect security. There is also no night there. Now, verse 26, "And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. There it is. It's a reference to the wealth of the nations. The glory and the honor are going to flow to the city. In verse 27, there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we believe that those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life are those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And through Jesus Christ only, there's only one way, truth and life. The only way to the Father is through the Lord. One salvation, one Lord, one faith, right? One baptism. And verse 27, again, it says, there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles. So that's why, you know, we need to receive the forgiveness or the cleansing that comes from the Lord. Amen. And a person has to come to a place of repentance in their hearts in order to be in position to receive the pardon, the mercy of God, to be cleansed, to be restored, to fellowship with Him. And so some people will try to attempt by their own means, maybe by their own works, to be justified before the Lord. And yet, it's not by works that we're saved, is it? It's by the grace of God. But we have to have a repentant heart towards God in order to receive His grace. Why? Because God gives His grace to the humble. But He resists the proud. Those who refuse, you know, to repent, God will reject. Because they're not going to be qualified in their heart. Amen? They're not going to be able to stand before His holiness with sin. And the only thing that will qualify us, again, for His holiness is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So nothing is going to defile in the city. Nothing that causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So nothing unclean is going to enter the New Jerusalem. And again, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, we're going to begin in chapter 22 in verse 1. It says, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, that's interesting that there's going to be healing leaves in a perfect place where there's no sickness. So the description here of clear water shows that there's absolutely no pollution, right, in the city or on the new earth. And so the river of life flows from the throne of God down the middle of this golden street or this avenue. The tree of life is there, and its fruit can only be enjoyed by the overcoming believers. We know that only those who overcome will have access to it. So a couple things to note here. Number one, it's clear by this text that we will be eating in heaven. Second, the nations are the people who occupy the new earth, and those who are righteous will have access to the city. Since there is no sickness, third, the healing leaves must maintain life for those who are on the earth. So it must be for those who are presently on the earth. And remember, there's going to still be those who are not right during this time. There's going to be righteous and unrighteous that are going to be on the earth. Remember, we talked about it because it says that nothing that defiles can enter the city. So there may be those who will attempt to enter but will not be able to during this time. And in verse 3, it says, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Now, the curse originated, right, in the Garden of Eden. And but now it's completely removed at this time. So they shall see His face in verse 4, and His name shall be on their foreheads. And so even as the enemy has those that he labels and that he marks, God marks His people. His name will be on their foreheads. And His name will identify us as His own. And so this is really a seal of eternal ownership. And we will be forever with the Lord, and we shall see Him face to face. And verse 5 says, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And again, there's no other type of artificial light. All right? It's not necessary. The sun will not shine any longer. God's radiance will lighten and warm us forever and ever. And in verse 6 it says, "Then he said to me, 'These words are faithful and true.' And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place." In verse 7, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Now, when I've read this, I've always thought about, well, quickly. How long has it been now? It's been thousands of years, a couple thousand years, right? Since the writing of this. And he said he's coming quickly. And yet we know also that the early church lived with an expectation that the Lord could return at any time. But I was doing some research on this. This is the word for quickly in verse 7 is not used in relationship to hours, days, months, or even years. Rather, it speaks of a series of events happening in rapid succession once they begin. And that could make sense when Jesus, remember, he talked about a woman in travail. You know, and I don't know if you sense this or feel this, but today it seems like everything is escalating and everything is happening quicker. You know, the days are going by faster. The news is not able to keep up with everything that's happening in the earth. There's so much happening all at once. And it seems like there's been a speeding up of everything, of time even. But the word also, quickly, means suddenly or by surprise. Suddenly or by surprise. So it could mean also when Jesus was referring to his return that we needed to be watchful because he's going to come, you know, suddenly in a time when we're not maybe expecting it. So once these things begin to happen, the events will fall into place rapidly. So that could be an explanation also for that word quickly. Behold, I am coming quickly. He's talking about, you know, things are going to happen quickly near the end. It's, you know, it seems, and even some that have been on the planet for a little while, seems like the older you get, the faster your life seems to go anyways. When you're a child, it seems like you've got forever, right? But anyways, we'll find out, won't we? What we do know is the Lord told us to be watchful, to be ready. And, you know, I also referenced the Church of Sardis here. Remember in Revelation 3:3, it says, "Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief." Okay, that could be the suddenly, right? Or the quickly. "I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." He's telling the church to wake up and to repent. The Church of Sardis. And then in Luke 12, verse 40, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And according to Matthew 22:12, those who do not have on their wedding garment will not be allowed to enter heaven. And we know that the host supplies the garment that would qualify an individual to be part of the wedding supper of the Lamb. All right. And so those who think that they can come by maybe means of their own righteousness or through their own intermediator, even people who pray to other gods or saints or whatever, the Bible says there's only one intermediator, right, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we can only come to the Father through Jesus, the Son. And we need to have the wedding garment, which is supplied by the host. Now, we know that we need Christ and his righteousness, amen, in order to be qualified to be in the presence of the Father. Our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. It's not sufficient. So that's why we need to repent and turn to the only one who can declare us righteous, amen, and clothe us in his righteousness, amen, which is Christ, who is our righteousness. We are to be clothed in the Lord's presence, you see. It's the Lord's presence that qualifies us. Amen. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And so in this book, there is a special blessing that's promised to each one who keeps the words of this prophecy. And I believe that we do that by living in the hope of his coming. People who are looking for Jesus are people who are living for Jesus. And we have to guard ourselves against worldliness and being seduced away from our steadfastness in the Lord. Because I believe the Lord is coming just like he said, for those who are looking for him, he shall appear a second time without sin unto salvation. So I believe the word is going out today. God is calling all men everywhere to repent because he has set apart a day. He's appointed a day in which he shall judge the world by that man whom he's ordained. And man, he's given us assurance of this and that he's raised him from the dead. The Lord is the righteous judge. And every knee is going to bow to him and every tongue is going to confess. And so we bow now. And we make sure that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We shouldn't have to ask somebody else to tell us if we're saved. We need to have the witness within us by the Spirit. As the Lord says, you are mine. Amen. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When we receive the promises of God by faith, then the peace of God, amen, guards our hearts and our minds in that. Because our faith has to be built upon the Lord, amen, and his word, his promises. We're children of promise today. And that's how we are justified, by believing what God, the report that God has given us concerning his Son. That he who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So we want to make sure that we're in Christ and then keep your eyes upon him. Amen. Keep looking up. The Lord is coming. He says, if you're watchful, amen, you won't be caught unaware. We see the signs all around us. Things are speeding up. You know, there seems to be an upset everywhere. There's this travail happening across the planet. And God's going to shake everything, even heaven itself. But the only thing that's going to last forever is the word of God. Amen. And you and I in Christ have stability. Because there is no other foundation. It's only in Christ, in Christ alone. And so we have to be careful by not judging ourselves by our own opinion of ourselves. God's the one who is the righteous judge. We cannot give ourselves saving grace. God gives grace that saves. And so my evaluation of myself, amen, is no good unless the Holy Spirit is the one giving me the evaluation. He knows how, amen, to show us where we need to change. And I don't believe, guys, that we're going to be perfect in this world. And that's why, praise God, we have an advocate with the Father. If we mess up, we turn to the Lord, we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. And we don't have to live in condemnation. Receive the promise of God, the promise of his forgiveness. Receive it by faith. Thank him for it. And move on. Go on. Move on with your life. Because I believe the enemy will try to beat us over the head with our mistakes, to try to discourage us, to defeat us in our own minds so that we will not serve the Lord. And he can then rob us of an eternal inheritance. You see, many people have quit following the Lord because they just feel like they've just blown it so badly that God will never accept them back again. And that's a lie. God never gets tired of forgiveness. If we will turn to the Lord, he is merciful. He is gracious, isn't he? He's willing and he wants to forgive. But a person simply needs to turn back to the Lord. We need to quit listening to the accuser and turn to our advocate. Hallelujah. Call on the name of the Lord, and whosoever does shall be rescued. Amen.